I want to focus our meditation tonight on my meditation on the last passage that was just read from Colossians. It's one of my favorite passages. Colossians and Ephesians are probably my favorite books in the New Testament. They are hymns of praise of the lifting up of Jesus Christ's name. And Paul just waxes eloquent in every chapter and in every paragraph in every chapter. The title of this particular paragraph, which I realize is not inspired, but those who pulled together the New American Standard version call this section "The Incomparable Christ," and I think that's about the best possible word. There is nothing to which we can compare Jesus Christ and what He has done. Nothing that is as extreme, as immoderate, as complete as what Jesus is and what He did. In this reading, in verse 15, we read that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Jesus, we know, existed in eternity before the creation of time. The gospel writer John understood Jesus to be the person of the Trinity who actually undertook creation, spoke the words that brought all of creation into life. If this weren't wondrous enough, this act of creation, the creation of the whole cosmos, Jesus later took on flesh and became a man, truly man, as well as truly God, and therefore became creature as well as creator. Whatever else this title, firstborn of all creation, means, it means that Jesus is the eldest son. He is both the creator and the eldest son of creation. He's the heir to the Father's kingdom and the greatest blessing of the Father to His creation. He is the first among us in rank because He did not refuse to become the least among us. Because He chose to lay His life down on the cross and take it up again in the tomb. Jesus, we paint a picture of Jesus as a victim, and in some respects that is a correct picture, but in truth, Jesus said, and I remind you of this, that He said that He has been given the authority to lay down His life and to take it up again. He was not a victim. He laid His life down. He took it up again. He is the ultimate King. He is also Creator, and in Him all things hold together. That's a tremendous thought. That means that there isn't a moment that goes by that Jesus' consciousness of His creation and His involvement and connection with it doesn't keep us alive. That doesn't keep our atoms from just energizing and just becoming dust. Jesus' involvement in His creation continues. He not only created the heavens and the earth and all of us, His Spirit continues to knit all things together. Our bodies, our societies, our universe, and our atoms. All life is borrowed from Him. What has God done in the cross? What has this extreme and supreme act of love accomplished? This passage tells us that He has rescued us from darkness, in verse 13. He has transferred us to the kingdom of His Son. We are members and citizens of a new nation. And that Son has redeemed us. That is, He has bought us out of slavery into freedom. He has forgiven us, meaning He has established a foundation of true intimacy between us and God. An intimacy that can bear fruit even now as we grow closer to God and learn what that means. An intimacy that will be perfected when we see Him again. He is reconciling all things to Himself, meaning making a great peace possible again. a peace between us and God, a peace between one another. Most important of all, the Father's love and Jesus' sacrifice has made all who trust in Him to be holy and blameless. We think of holiness, we mistakenly believe holiness to be kind of a spiritual antiseptic, something that purifies the field of all life so to prevent infection. When in fact, although there is an antiseptic value to holiness and action in holiness, holiness is the source of all life, true life, life that is perfect, life that is in harmony with its creator. Holiness is about not about destroying life, it is about making life possible, real life. We are made holy and being made holy and blameless. That means that when God's work and His servants is done, there will be no trace of weakness. There will be no disfigurement, physical or emotional. There will be no neurosis. There will be no deep, dark secrets that we are afraid to let out, secrets that we feel we must keep. That won't be necessary any longer. All doubt, all fear, any shame instilled in us since childhood, it will all be lifted, burned up, and we will be forever healed of it. This is the work on the cross. This is the outcome that Jesus set down His life for and took it up again for. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, You are the image of the invisible God. And when we see You, we see the Father. When You insisted that You wanted to take our children in Your arms, wriggling, loud, runny-nosed, full of questions and frank observations, when You insisted that You wanted to hold them and one by one put Your hand on them and bless them, we saw what the Father truly thinks of us. When You chose to turn water into wine at a wedding celebration, we learned that You are not an austere God who frowns on joy, even when it is not especially religious. You warn against drunkenness, but You are not a somber God. You came that we might have life and have it in abundance. You restored sight. You strengthened limbs. You cleansed skin. You even brought us back from the dead. You taught us that life is a gift. And when it is burdened by sin, it is still a gift that can be lived with joy when we live it, sharing Your life with You. After that Last Supper with Your disciples, You stripped down like a household slave, took a towel and a basin of water, and then one by one, You washed Your servants' feet, even those of Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. You who revealed the heart of the Father taught us by example that there is no shame in being the servant. As a matter of fact, there can be no honor until we are servants. There can be no greatness in the kingdom of heaven until we become the servant. And we do the most menial things in love for You, flowing out to one another. Father, You wield irresistible power. You've created everything with a word and will one day dissolve everything with a word. Please, since You have already done so much at such great cost, help us here today remain faithful. To remain faithful to You so that when we see You, everything You have started in us will be brought to perfection. We honor You this night, remembering the sorrow and the pain of the cross that You suffered for us. We thank You for what You have done. We praise you for what you will do. And we lift up in worship the incomparable name of Jesus Christ. Amen.